Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives, and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. Today on Hustle, we're going to be speaking to Jackie Palmer. She's a DJ producer from Northampton in the UK. Jackie started DJing in 2014. Following that, she also started her first radio show, A Darker Wave. And then in 2013, you started Draw the Line radio show, where you showcast women DJs and producers. And also, in addition to that, you've DJed in clubs basically all through Europe. Plus had releases on Get Physical, Deep Down Dirty, Dead Groovy, and now you're currently working on an EP. Wow. Hello, Jackie.
Hello.
Wow. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for coming on the podcast. You've been a busy bee.
Well, I've got lots of time on my hands, as a lot of people have at the moment. So I thought it's best to use it wisely.
Okay, yeah, well, that's exactly what we were talking about before we started recording, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Making things happen in the time that we've got now.
Indeed. If we don't do it now, when are we going to do it?
Well, that's very true. It'll just get put to the back of that pile, won't it?
Of all the things that we think are more important but aren't, you know, it's time when you assess your priorities and you realise what it is you really want to do and what it is that really makes you happy. Then you go and do them, you know, the laundry and the dusting, and they'll wait for another week, another time.
Yeah.
You know, when I finally croak it, I'm not going to be regretting the fact that I didn't do the hoovering and dusting. I'll be regretting the fact that I didn't finish that track, or I didn't make that record, or I didn't get to that gig, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, 100%. All that other stuff is just kind of like noise in the background, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's necessary. You know, I don't want to live in a tip. I'd like it to be clean and tidy. So at some point, I've got to pick up that duster, but it shouldn't be before I do the other things. You know, that's my view. I'll fit it in, but I won't let it take over. I won't do it first. I'll do it last.
Yeah, I like that. That's a really cool way of looking at things.
Yeah.
Excellent. So tell us, how did you get into music? What made you decide to get into DJing and music? How did your career start?
Well, you know, I've always been into music as a consumer, if you like, as a gig goer.
Yeah.
You know, I've been around for a fair number of years now. You know, I was a punk originally. I was really into punk in 1976, 77. And I really just followed music from then. I loved you know, bringing it more up to date. I mean, I love the development of electronic music in the 90s, and followed that with great interest, while at times not really understanding it, to be honest.
Okay.
But there was some great stuff coming out, which actually still sounds great today. And then, of course, you know, it developed through the noughties and the last 10 years. And we used to go out to clubs, and we'd come back in the morning, and we'd want something to listen to, but we didn't put the radio on because we didn't want to DJ nattering away with his or her inane banter.
Yeah.
So I started mixing two YouTube windows together on my laptop. And, yeah, okay, probably sounded shit, but, you know, it wasn't. It was all right, and it passed the time, passed the morning as we, you know, were getting back, you know, coming back home to the club, so from the club. And then we thought, well, why don't we get a set of decks? Because you know what? I've looked at this, and it's really cheap. So we got an introductory pair of a Pioneer controller, entry-level controller. And I learned to mix on there by doing some online courses from DJ Digital Tips, who'd had a lot of free stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's pretty damn good. And I managed to work out how to beat match and put two tunes together without it sounding like a car crash, and started to put some mixes on SoundCloud. And an old friend who I hadn't seen in about 10 years was starting a community radio station in North Wales, and she wanted content. And she asked if we'd be interested in doing the dance music show on a Saturday night. And we said, yes.
Amazing.
And then said, how do we do it?
Shit.
And when I say we, I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about, you know, me in the Queen Liz sense. I'm talking about me and my partner, Paul.
Yeah.
And she said, well, can you get a show together in 2 weeks? And we said, oh, yeah, of course we can, wanting to sound as though we knew what we're doing. And we actually didn't. And we put the first show together with a makeshift microphone that we couldn't turn off. So when the music was playing, we couldn't say anything to each other about where the mix was going to go and who was going to mix what and when. And we already decided then on the format, which it is today, which is we do a mix in the first hour and then have a guest in the second. The guest mixes didn't take off till after we'd done about 50 shows, which was roughly the first year, because I was scared of asking people. I thought they'd all say no. But eventually we expanded to the two-hour version to fit in the guest mix in the second hour. And we did want to talk too much, but we did want to talk a little because we wanted to tell people what the tracks were, because one of our founding principles was tell people what you're playing. So our voiceovers are, this is what we're going to play. And when we put it up on SoundCloud and Mixcloud, we always include a full track list. And that to us is important, that the people's music we play, they don't get any money from us for playing it. And I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I really am a big fan of putting my mixes up on the Performing Rights Society's thing, but you have to be a member and we can't afford to join. That's, you know, but anyway, that's another story. So the least the thing I can do is give them the recognition and point people towards their music if they like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, suggest to them, if you like it, buy it. So we just wanted to do a quick introduction. We're going to play this in the next 20 minutes. Hey, you know what? We're going to play this in the next 20 minutes. And then, hey, you know what? Here's the guest mix. And that's kind of like the format we did. So that's why we had a microphone, just to say those three little voiceovers. And we finally worked out how to put a switch on the microphone. And eventually, at some point, we bought some professional microphones. So we can now do it more. And that's how we got into DJing. And I started Draw the Line radio show in 2018 from a suggestion by Maya Stone, who runs Deep Down Dirty Records. She'd been asked by a radio station, if she would be interested in doing a music show featuring women. And she didn't have the time, so she passed the idea on to me. And I was a little bit reluctant because one radio show every week is quite a commitment.
Yeah.
To take on two, I thought, might be too much, especially with a full-time job. But we said, yeah, and I'm so glad I did, because it's made me search for music by women. And it is so, so good. I mean, music made by men, is really good as well. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to say it's better in any way, but it is so much good music out there. And because of the way that music is delivered to us, we don't see all this fantastic music that women are making. And I am so, so glad that I said I wanted to do Draw the Line, because I found all this fantastic music. It's made me think about what I play much more. It's made me recognize that minorities of all kinds are ignored. I say minorities, women aren't a minority, they're half the population, for God's sake. But it's not just, although Draw the Line is focused on music made by women, it's not just music made by women, it's music made by any minority in society who is overlooked by the white Anglo-Saxon male hierarchy.
Okay.
So this is also about, and it's something I'm not very good at, but I want to bring in music by artists of colour, you know, queer artists, anybody who doesn't get a look in, and I'm constantly searching for tracks by any kind of minority to bring in, because it doesn't get heard and it deserves to get heard. It's great music. And anyway, and I've made some fantastic contacts out of Draw the Line. And as a result of the two shows, I was asked to start playing DJ gigs, which was fantastic. And I never expected, I always wanted to be able to play a DJ gig, and I never expected I would. But as a result of that, of the shows and the contacts I made, I played my first DJ gig in 2017, I think. I think it was 2017, which was fantastic. And, you know, and it's just built up since there.
That's amazing.
Well, until March this year, it built up since there. Yeah. And then I wanted to learn music production. And I did a course with, well, actually before that, I'd actually done a couple of remixes, and I really didn't know what I was doing. They were released, and I was listening back to them. They are, yeah, they're okay, but I'm surprised they're okay, because I genuinely didn't know what I was doing. I bought Ableton, and I really didn't know how to use it properly. So I did a course, an online course, with an American DJ called Eric Lewis. His online DJ training course is called It's the DJ, and it's very, very good.
Okay, I've not heard of that.
Yeah, it's very good. And I did his course, and then he suggested that would I like to do 4-hour-long Skype sessions and develop a track. And I said, oh, you know, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, because it'll help me learn how he does it.
Yeah.
And I'm a great admirer of his music. And it was a great opportunity to get into that. How does he shape his synths? You know, how does he craft his beats, do his bass lines and so on? So I said, yeah. And I brought to the table a track I'd done in Ableton, which wasn't, yeah, it's okay. I thought it had something there, but it needed a lot of polish. My God, did it need a lot of polish. Anyway, we worked on it in those 4 sessions. And he did a lot of the arranging, and he did a lot of the mix down. And I decided what parts to put in and how those parts would sound. And at the end, he said, yeah, it sounds great, but it needs something in the top end. Have you heard this track? And this track was a Caribou remix of, oh, I always forget the name of the song. But I listened to it, and there was a little high-end synthesizer in it. And I thought, that's the high-end I need. So I sampled it from the track, put it in my track, sounded great. Eric said, yeah, that's what it needed. This track is ready. So he said, have you cleared the sample? I said, no. Mm. So he said, well, if you want to release this, it probably would be a good idea to do it. So the original track and the, it was a Clapton remix, not a Caribou remix, it's a Clapton remix.
Okay.
And it was released by Get Physical. So I wrote to them, bookmarked the track, said, I've used this sample from this track, from your track, and I want to have your permission to use it before I release the record. I thought they'd say no, so I worked out how to do my own sample, which was a lot, lot worse than the sample I'd sampled. But I thought, if they say no, I will use it. Anyway, they wrote back and said, we like what you've done, and we'd like to release the track. And that's how I managed to get a release on Get Physical. And that's when I thought, this product, I'd better get a bit serious about this, because, you know, this is fantastic. And I don't want it to be a one-off. I want to be able to make tracks like this all the time. So, so they released it, and I started to work on my own original tracks. The irony is a little bit that I seem to get known more for remix work, and I seem to be asked for a lot of remix work, which I love doing, and I have done, and I'm still doing. But it has driven out work on original tracks somewhat, quite a little bit anyway. But I've got a lot of original tracks on the stocks, finished or nearly finished, and I'm hanging on to them because I want to put them out as EPs, and I'm just finalising one EP now.
Oh, wow.
I'm hoping I can bring out next year. And I've got a second one, which is also close to completion, and I'm hoping that can come out next year as well. So,
oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's quite, it's quite an interesting story, because most people, I mean, you've done it all, you've done it a completely different way around to what, how everybody else starts their career. So yes, most people buy the decks and be like, right, yeah, we want to be a DJ. That's cool. And actually, I think there's a program called 2 YouTube Videos and a Crossfader, actually. So people... This is a thing. This is a thing. And I've seen this at many after parties, that people start out. But yeah, you get the decks. Most people actually start to get gigs. They then get radio shows. And off the back of that, they then start production. But you've done it completely differently. Slam bang straight into a radio show, into gigs and music production, signed to a label, bish, bash, bosh.
Yeah, but I love it.
Amazing.
I love it. And it's a lot of work, and... You know, sometimes you wonder, oh, there's so much to do, what we're going to do next, but we love it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it so much. And, yeah, I mean, I'm just really pleased that people have liked what I've done enough to have the faith in me to ask me to do radio show, the 2 radio shows, and to release my music, and to ask me to remix their music. And I'm really grateful that that's happened. So... Yeah, and it's really good, and I'm really pleased that it's going so well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's really inspiring, actually, because it just goes to show that if you dedicate your time, I mean, a radio show is a huge amount of time. I've done various online radio before, and like a couple of FM shows. I'm from Bedford, by the way. You're from Northampton.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Hello. Hello, we're almost neighbours.
Hello, neighbour. Yeah, not quite now, but...
No.
Yeah, I used to play on Interbeats Radio, which is a Bedford radio station. But yeah, just having a radio show in itself is a huge amount of work. And although you can probably blag a few shows if you have to, but generally you need to have everything in order, because you want it to sound different every time. You want to bring like new energy, new information, and especially if you're doing individual new tracks and then you're listing them as well. It's a huge, huge job.
It's a huge commitment in time. And I'm not sure that unless you've done it, you can really appreciate what goes into it.
No.
You know, it's not just turning up at the studio. Well, in fact, you can't turn up at the studio now because you have to pre-record. But yeah. But it's a huge commitment in time of deciding what you're going to play in each. It doesn't work for me unless there's a reason. There has to be a reason for putting that music out. I can't just sit down and do a mix for each of the shows without there being a reason for it. So what's that reason? Well, for me, it's to showcase new music that's going out.
Yeah.
So I look for new music. And I like to showcase on Darker Wave, it's obviously anybody on Draw the Line, it's music by women. But I like to showcase new music by people who are a little bit under the radar. Not exclusively. I'm quite happy to play the A-listers if they're producing great music, and a lot of them are.
Yeah.
And I like to mix it up like that. And that, for me, gives it the reason. So what's come out this week that I like, that I want to play? What would I like other people to hear? We get a lot of promos, and it takes a lot of time just listening to those to decide what am I going to play. Because I can't just... speed listening is... Sometimes I do speed listen because I'm short of time. You know, speed listening where you just jump, you play 10 seconds, then you jump through the track and play 10 seconds here, 20 seconds there.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea when you've got to mix that track, because you might be mixing that track and you might try and mix a vocal, bring the next track in, and there's another vocal there, and you think, oh no, it's a car crash.
Yeah.
So you've got to know your track. Yeah. You've got to know your track if you're going to mix it, if you're going to mix it well and in a way that sounds interesting. So it's a huge involvement of work to decide what tracks you're going to play each week. The other thing that takes quite a bit of managing is the guest mix. You have to find people who you'd like enough to give them a chance. You have to explain to them what your technical requirements are. And we do have technical requirements because we want the show to sound good.
Yep.
We want the audio to be first class. We don't want it to be clipping. We don't want to overdrive it. We don't want it to be in the red. We want it to be at 0 dB. We want the voices to sound good when we do voiceovers. We want the music to sound great as well. And we want our mix to have the same audio characteristics, the same level as the guest mix. So we ask people to give us plenty of headroom so we can bring both mixes, our mix and their mix, up to 0 dB. A little bit of compression so it sounds really great. And sometimes people don't understand or haven't read what we ask for. Mm-hmm. And we have to go back to them and say, that's not, you know, that wasn't really what we asked for. Could you do it again? Because you've got great tracks in there, but we can't use it because it sounds a bit over bassy or it's a bit distorted. Great if you're going to play that like that in a club. Fantastic in a club, but for a radio show, it's a bit different. And that takes a lot of time, finding people, managing that content, if you like.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got to record it or go into the studio and do it. And then you've got to put it up on SoundCloud and MixCloud, and you've got to type up those track lists.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then you've got to go all over, start again next week, with the search for new music, what you're going to put in, et cetera, et cetera. And, yeah, big commitment in time, but, yeah, when the show goes out, it's worth it. The rewards for listening back to that show and for seeing that people actually like what you do is, yeah, it's great. It really is great. And the contacts you make are fantastic as well.
Mm. So what? So where do you find new music then? So talk me through the whole process. So what if you were to start next week's or to this week's, hang on, where are, what day are we on?
Right, we're on Thursday.
Next week's show, then... You know, how would you search for new music? Do you go to SoundCloud? Do you go to Beatport, for instance? Or how do you find new music, apart from the promo list you get given?
Yeah, SoundCloud and Beatport. I keep an eye on what's going on there. I look at free downloads on SoundCloud,
yeah.
Which come through. I actually don't look on SoundCloud for them. I get them through the Repost Exchange website, which is a fantastic resource. Where you put up your content and then you repost other people's content up to a maximum of 10, or is it 12 tracks every 12 hours or 12 mixes every 12 hours. So you can't just repost ad infinitum, there's a limit.
Okay.
But because you get lots of music coming through Repost Exchange onto your dashboard, you get to listen to a lot of music. Some of them are mixes, some of them are individual tracks. But in that mixture, I can find stuff I really like and I want to put on the show. So that's one place I find it. I'll go on Beatport when they're having a promotion. I try to keep my spend on Beatport to a budget because it's very easy to go overboard and buy too much.
Yeah.
So I only buy what I can't find elsewhere. And what I really, really want to play in the show. I'll also look on Bandcamp. And in particular, I've been looking at Black Bandcamp, which is the website put together by a DJ called Dix, who has put the music from artists of colour onto one page called Black Bandcamp. So it's easier to find it. So
I've heard of that. I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. Yeah.
We'll include that in the show notes as well for other people to look at.
Yeah. And Nyx was actually on the brilliant Sisu Presents In the Key of She last month. And she explains how she put this together and why she put it together. And it's a really fun, fascinating interview.
Oh, I need to listen to that. Actually, that's Sam Warren, isn't it? Yep.
That's Sam Warren's show. Yeah. Yep. Who's, and she actually did a mix at the end of that show of music she'd found on Black Bandcamp. And you know, it's great. It's fantastic music. It really is. So I like to have a look at that at Bandcamp in general to see what I can pick up there. And and that's where I find it. Because we've been going with Darker Wave for 5 years now, we do attract a lot of promos. I mean, in the early days, we got none. First 2-3 years, I don't think we got any promos at all. But I don't know what it is. I mean, we went to ADE and tried to increase our visibility, and that seemed to be a factor in it. And now we just seem to be on you know, people just contact us out of the blue, which is fantastic, and just send us music.
That's so amazing. And then you've just got to dedicate some time to listening and then pick the show, pick the reason for the show. And
I like it as well when some, not all of them, but some promo sites will ask you, well, thanks for your feedback. Did you play this? Which I think is quite legitimate. Why wouldn't? I can say, yeah, love the music and download it from the promo site, and then not do anything because I can't actually play everything that comes to me. But sometimes someone will come to you and say, well, did you play it? And you think, oh, I didn't play it.
Yeah.
And it might actually not be what you'd have picked to play, but because you've downloaded it, I feel a commitment to play it if somebody says, well, have you played it? And that forces me to mix more, it forces me to think about how I'm going to mix that in, you know?
Yeah.
It might not be just a straightforward 4/4 beat. It might be a broken beat, or it might be something that isn't 4-to-the-floor techno or tech house or whatever. And it forces me to think about a different way to mix it in. I love trying to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm always up for a challenge like that.
I think it makes you think more. I got a gig in Zermatt in Switzerland as an open style DJ, kind of playing everything from ABBA to techno to drum and bass to house to you know, Will Smith to wedding classics. And honestly, it was probably one of the hardest week I ever had. And I go back there quite a lot now because I absolutely love it. Just having to use your brain on how you're going to get from one segment, so to speak, to another. I tried to do about 2 to 3 tracks of the same kind of vibe and then into the next thing. And you really need to like work out how to do that. And not only that, how to get out of the shit, because you got to think on your feet and think quickly. I think it's really good to push yourself like that, because back in the day I was always about drum and bass. I suppose you were probably always about a particular genre, techno or tech house. And then, you know, you need to put yourself out of the comfort zone, don't you?
You do. Well, actually, I love drum and bass. We probably went to more drum and bass events than techno events when we were clubbing it, you know.
Yeah.
And I love drum and bass, but I'm not very good at mixing it. And I'm trying to find drum and bass DJs to come on Darker Wave and Draw the Line.
To get me
to mix drum and bass. Because if I'm playing a drum and bass guest mix, I'll do drum and bass in the first hour as well.
Yeah, you have to do it that way around, don't you? So
you got to.
Well, there is on Facebook, there's the Hospital Records Women in Drum and Bass page.
Yes.
I'm sure people would be biting your hand off left, right and centre for a mix, wouldn't they?
I hope so. I'll put a post up there and see what happens. But I love drum and bass, and it's great. We're big fans of it.
I like to think once you can mix drum and bass and jungle, literally any other genre is like a walk in the park.
Literally.
I did a
gig once in Manchester and I switched from techno to drum and bass halfway through.
amazing.
It went off, it was going pretty well up till then, and I switched and I thought, this is do or die, you know.
Make or break.
I either got to kill the vibe. Well, I ran the risk of killing the vibe because it was going really, really well, and I ran the risk of killing it stone dead. But I switched and it went off. It really went off.
Yeah.
It just went off about 10 gears, you know. It's great.
That's funny. I played a gig here. I play out quite a bit. I played a gig here and I was just in the little drum and bass segment, and a fight broke out in the middle of the area. And I was like, oh my God, shit. So I whacked on some Bob Marley, Could There Be Love? And it just literally, everyone was like hugging each other, like dancing, singing their little hearts out. And then I was like, oh shit, now I need to like try and transition back into drum and bass. So
yeah.
cheeky bit of Cotton Eye Joe, followed by some other kind of housey thing into, I think it was like UK UK bassline, bang into drum and bass again.
Yeah. It's so great fun. When you've got to think on your feet like that, but just show the power of music, because people are affected by it on an emotional level. And what you play as the DJ affects the vibe of that dance floor in far more fundamental ways than we sometimes appreciate. You know, you make people happy. You can make them sad. Stop the fighting with a record about love, you know. And you can make them smile. You can make them angry. You can make them frown. You can make them bitter. You can make them happy. You know, the whole gamut of human emotions is triggered by music. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's definitely a highlight for me, is to apart from creating chaos on the dance floor, is just the vibe that in just the love that people have for music. And it doesn't matter, you know, it's like a scene out of the what was that film with the young lads?
24 Hour Party People.
Yeah. But they're that one. it's crazy, isn't it? Just the love from the dance floor is just unreal. And everyone started doing their own thing to their own rhythm. And it doesn't matter, does it? It's just like...
But you're all together in that room, dancing to the same music and loving it and really enjoying it. And we used to go to an event in Birmingham at the late Lamented Rainbow Club, which sadly is now no longer. And we used to go to a party called 0231, which started at 2:31 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Amazing.
What was great about it was what we call the posers and the pissheads from the pubs in the city centre. They weren't going to wait till half two.
Right.
So the only people there, or the people that went there, were the people who loved the music. Yeah. And it was fantastic. There was only about 100, 200 capacity because it was in the courtyard at the Rainbow. And it was just such a great night. And then eventually it got so, so popular, they moved it into the main warehouse and brought the time forward. And so the people started drifting down from the city centres, and the posers and the pissheads came in, the posers, pissheads and pickup artists, and the vibe was gone. But for that first 12 months, when it started at 2:30, it was just so, so good.
Amazing. So unfortunately, there's no nightclubs or anything like that open at the moment, is there? Boo.
No. It's so sad and so concerning and I think so wrong. Yeah. And I've got very... very firm views on it that I don't know. It's difficult to say. I mean, you know, there is a dangerous virus out there, but I'm not sure that allowing people to go into nightclubs is going to cause a major transmission event. I mean, people will say, but how do you know that one of those people isn't infected? Well, okay, you don't. But hey, you know what? People who go to nightclubs generally don't have underlying health conditions. And you know who's most vulnerable to the virus? People who are over 60.
Yeah.
Well, I might just fall into that category, but let me move swiftly on past that. And people with underlying health conditions. And 95% of the deaths have been from those groups.
Yeah. And they're
if
not
you're young,
are
yeah.
They're not
if you're healthy, if you're healthy, if you're young, hey, you know what? You might catch it, but it ain't going to do you any damage, and it certainly ain't going to kill you. So my view is, if you've got a good, strong immune system, you're generally healthy, going to a nightclub, you're very unlikely to catch the virus, and I suspect you might be more at risk in some areas of being a victim of knife crime than catching coronavirus. But that's just a personal view, and other people have their views, and I respect those as well.
Well, I kind of hope that everything is a little bit more back to normal for next year. I mean, I don't know. I mean, here they've delayed the ski season, but it's okay to go to the cinema, which...
There's a lot of contradictions. A lot of contradictions about it. And I think the response to the virus is worse than the disease itself. I think things will get back to whatever normality becomes. I'm not sure I believe in all this talk of a new normal, but I think when things do start to operate again, and it looks like that might be in the spring, summer of next year, because you know what? as soon as the warmer weather comes, whatever's happened in the winter, in January and February, the cases will go down. Because it's a respiratory illness, and that's what happens to all respiratory illnesses when the warm weather comes.
Yeah.
So things might well start to get back to normal next spring, summer. There might be fewer clubs to go to.
Mm-hmm.
There might be more underground illegal events because there aren't as many small clubs around. And I think that's probably what the reality will come back to. I hope it's not, we don't get the sort of events that are being organised now where people have to go and sit down because they can't dance, because they're not allowed to dance. I'd rather chew my own hand off than go to a club and listen to techno or drum and bass and have to sit down at a table.
Yeah.
I can't. It's music for dancing.
Yeah.
And if you can't dance, I'd rather not go.
No, I mean, I've not been to one. We don't have anything like that round here anyway. But hopefully once everything's back up and running for spring, I mean, surely that's festival season, isn't it?
Yeah. And they've got to make a decision. You know, places like Glastonbury, they've got to start building the site in March.
Yeah.
Because it's such a fantastic, extensive operation.
Mm.
You know, other festivals have to start in May, June, and some festivals, of course, actually happen in April, May.
Mm.
Anyway, so they've got to decide what they're going to let people do quite early on, because people have to make preparations. And yeah, let's hope it does, because my last gig was on March the 7th in London, and I really miss playing out in clubs.
Yeah,
I really miss it. So I hope it does get back next year and we can start to pick up those gigs again and, you know, make people dance and dance ourselves.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Have you got any gigs in the pipeline that you've been booked for, festival gigs that are kind of were postponed or might happen or happening?
No, I've got nothing at all.
No.
And so many DJs are in this position and there's not a lot I can do about it. I've just got to accept it and wait until things do pick up again and start to look for bookings then. So fingers crossed.
You've got the radio show keeping you busy and all of the production side of things. So it's not as if you're like fiddling your thumbs at the moment.
No, there's no money coming in, but you know what? That's how it is. You've just got to take it on the chin. Yeah, everyone's the same. Just do what you can and try and think of ways of monetizing what you do. And I'm working on it.
That's amazing. So have you got any advice for any up and coming DJs of how to get into radio or how to kick off a radio show, get in contact with somebody who already does a show maybe?
Well, yeah. I mean, if anybody's listening wants any advice on specific things, PM me, I might be happy to give it. But my view is, first of all, do it for the right reason. And that reason should be that you enjoy it. Don't do it because you think you're going to be superstar DJ on the wireless, because you're not. Do it because you love it. Do it because you enjoy it. You know, you're not going to be the next Amelie Lawrence, and you're not going to be the next Adam Beyer with a record label as well. You're going to be you. So do it because you love it. Do what you enjoy and go into it with that frame of mind, and then it'll be great. The other thing I'd advise people to do as well is don't watch what you're doing, whether you're DJing or producing. Make sure you stay out of the red. There is far too much music around that's bass heavy, over compressed, and sounds, in my opinion, not very good. Or rather, they are very good, but they've been ruined, because there's nothing wrong with bass heavy music. And there's a difference here between music that's got a heavy bass, which is great, and music which is over compressed, and therefore the bass is coming up in the mix more than it should. I don't mind a distorted bass or a distorted kick. It can sound great in the right context and the right track, but you can overdo it as well. So watch those VU meters and keep your mixes and your productions out of the red. Put everything through mixed. If you buy tracks or you get sent tracks for your radio show, I put all mine through mixed in key, so I know what key they're in. Doesn't mean I'm going to mix them in key, but it's a good starting point for knowing, you know, I don't agree with people who say, well, you should always mix in key, you know, throughout your mix. No, not really, right. Because you miss some good transitions then. But you've also got to be aware that if you mix one key into another key, it can also sound like a car crash. So you've got to know what you're doing. So knowing what the key is in the first place helps you avoid those sorts of issues. And then I put them through platinum notes. And platinum notes brings the audio level of the track down to whatever you specify. And I specify minus 12 dB. You specify what you want. So yeah. It's 12 dB below 0 dB. And that way, when I DJ with that track, it's not going to break into the red. Unless I turn the trim right up. And I don't turn the trim right up. I make sure that the trim stays in the orange, it stays out the red. And I make sure that my recording level is turned right down. So I've got lots of headroom for Paul, my other half, to bring it back to 0 dB when we do the show. So that's what I suggest. And always try to keep your mix interesting. I listen to a lot of mixes that actually aren't interesting because you've played too much of the track. You know, music, techno music, tech house, it's made with a long intro and long outro so you can mix into those points. But all so the tracks are about six and a half minutes long, but all the action's in the middle 3.5-4 minutes. So don't mix in too early, mix in just before the exciting stuff. And then when the exciting stuff's over, mix out and bring the next one in. So that's why you need to know a track to know where those exciting bits are. You know, that nice melody, that nice vocal, that whomping bass, you know, that cracking synth, whatever it is, mix in just before that. So every time you're bringing a track in, something exciting's happening. And then your listener's going to think, oh, what a great mix, you know?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And that's my advice.
That's amazing. Cracking. That's brilliant, Jackie. Thank you so much. So if people want to follow you, how do they get and the radio, are you Instagram or are you website?
Yeah, we're everywhere. We have a website at darkerwave.com.
Okay.
Everything Darker Wave and Draw the Line and Jackie E, my DJ name, yep, is on there. We're on SoundCloud as A Darker Wave and Jackie E. We're on Mixcloud as A Darker Wave, Jackie E, and Draw the Line Radio Show. And we're on Instagram as Jackie E, A Darker Wave, and Draw the Line Radio Show. We're also on Spotify.
Okay.
So as Darker Wave and Jackie E. Nice. So you can find us on there. And and we're in lots of other places as well. We're constantly surprised by the places that people find our music because they're in places that we don't know where it is. And my other half has just come down and is holding up a scarf, okay, which if I show you on the video.
Yep, show me the scarf. What does it
say? Can you see it?
What does it say?
I see that upside down.
I can't quite read it. You'll have to read it to me.
It says fuck it. Yeah. Can you say that on your podcast?
Well, I suppose we just have.
this is great.
What does it say underneath? There's some small writing underneath.
It says, The Lovely Eggs Lockdown Crew 2020.
Amazing.
The Lovely Eggs are a punk band from Lancaster. two-piece punk band from Lancaster, Holly and David. We saw them at Festival Number 6, and they are amazing.
Okay.
They don't subscribe to the industry, the indie band industry mentality. They've deliberately stayed in the hometown of Lancaster. They haven't got a manager. They haven't got PR. They do it all themselves, and they get played on, you know, Six Music. Their albums go to number one, and they make great music. And that's the scarf. It's named after one of the songs.
Fuck called, it. Amazing.
Okay, yeah. And which is a great thing to sing when you've just had enough of everything.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up, or you can send me a link and we'll put the
I'll send you a link to the notes. Eggs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll put the link in the show notes to brighten up everybody's day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It certainly will.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, Jackie, so, well, thank you so much for chatting. It's been brilliant and like so much advice. Absolutely amazing. Well,
thanks for having me on. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Brilliant. And I should probably send you a drum and bass mix, actually. So then you have to do a drum and bass mix yourself.
Yes, please do. I'd love to have a mix from you. I really would. It'd be great to put it in the show.
I'll make that happen. You watch this space.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Lovely.
Fantastic.
Well, have a nice evening and we will catch up soon.
Yes, you too. Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Hustle, industry advice for women in music. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please, please, please follow, subscribe, rate and give us a review. Help us to move up in the iTunes chart so that we can bring you more and more amazing guests. Thanks again. For more info on what we're up to, please check out our website, www.goodvibesonlymusic.com. Peace, love and good vibes always. See you next week.